For this morning's reading, let's turn to the book of 2 Corinthians and read chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4.
Ljubiti, čitat će se iz druge poslanice Korinćanima, glava četvrta. Četvrta glava, druga poslanica Korinćanima.
Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Jesus Christ, while he was upon this earth and had been engaged in his ministry and had been speaking forth a message, there was a time when he had spoken that the time's going to come that I'm going to go to Jerusalem and I'm going to be spat upon, mocked, and ultimately crucified. And the Apostle Peter didn't like that message, didn't like to hear that. And he said, be it far from thee, Lord. And Jesus had to rebuke him. And Jesus spoke and said, thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. And so, as part of the message this morning, let's consider what it is that we savor. Is it those things that be of God, or is it those things that be of men? Peter, at this time, he was savoring the things that be of men because he was looking to preserve Jesus' life when Jesus' mission was to come here and offer his life as a sacrifice for all mankind. And so let's consider as we look at this scripture that what it is that we savor, what is it that we so much enjoy and like to partake of? We think in an earthly sense it might be a good meal that we would savor, that we would like to partake of, we enjoy it and we're satisfied by it. Or whether it's climbing a mountaintop and going through the effort of making that projection up to the top of the mountain. It's an effort, but then we savor the view. We savor that effort that was made to reach the mountaintop. So what is it that we savor, that we truly enjoy, that we relish, that gives us that satisfaction? And the Apostle Paul closed with that in this chapter by saying, we're not looking at the things which are seen, because those things which are seen are temporal, but those things which are not seen are eternal. And so we, as creatures of God, made in His image, that we are looking at those things which are eternal, that we are savoring those things which give life and that will last throughout all eternity, not those things that are here on this earth. The things that we can savor or enjoy here upon this earth, that passes. It's soon over. It no longer brings that satisfaction and brings that joy, the things of this earth. But those things which are eternal, they truly give us that sense of fulfillment in Him. And so, again, let's consider that truth, that what is it that we are savoring in this life as we consider this scripture? And is it those things that be of God, as Jesus spoke, or is it those things that be of men? And we are truly eternal beings having this earthly experience, and so as we are having this earthly experience, there are things that we do enjoy, but in all practicality, because that's the way we live, but yet, in a broader sense, the mission of our lives, the overall desires of our hearts would be that which would be eternal and that which would glorify God. And so the Apostle Paul here begins this chapter here by saying, therefore, seeing we have received this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not. What ministry is he referring to? If we go back to the previous chapter, he's speaking of two ministries, that one that is of death and one that is of life. And so he says in verse number 7 of the previous chapter, but if the ministration of death, written and engraved in stones, was glorious, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. So what he's saying here is that he's comparing the Old Testament to the New Testament. If the Old Testament was written in the law, and the people were so amazed by the glory of this law that was written upon the tablets that Moses had to put a veil over his face because it shone in such splendor as he brought forth the ministration of death, the law. How much rather glorious, how much more glorious is the ministration of life? The ministration, he was referring to it here as the administration of the Spirit or the ministration of righteousness. But really, that's life. That's life. And so there's a ministration of death, which was glorious, but in a greater sense, a much greater sense, the ministration of life is exceeds in that glory. And so he's saying, because we have received this ministration, because we have received this ministry, we faint not. Because we're part of something that is so great, the ministration of life, the ministration of the power of God, because we're a part of that, we don't faint. We don't give up. We're not capitulating. We're not giving up. We're not failing. We are growing and we are strong in that because of what God has done. And so he says that, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received this mercy of Jesus Christ, as truth and mercy came from Jesus, that we faint not. We don't give up. We continue in this ministration of life. We continue in this truth that is brought forth. And so the Apostle Paul says, we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. This was the Apostle Paul being very careful that once, as he was a proponent of the law and persecuting the church and putting to death those that believed in Jesus Christ, that as he was part of that at one time, now he's a proponent of the ministration of life, and he's savoring those things that be of God, and he's not handling the word of God deceitfully, but in manifestation of the truth, bringing forth the truth. He was taught by Jesus, he speaks in his epistles, not by man, not by others, but by Jesus. And so he says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus, of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. There are those that were lost. They didn't understand the truth. There were those of the Jews, the Pharisees, the scribes, the lawyers, the Sadducees. They were those that were lost. They were blinded. They were blinded to the truth of who Jesus Christ was, as well as the Gentiles, until they come to believe, and that fullness of the Gentiles was come. And so the Bible here is saying that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. The God of this world. That's what Satan wants to do. He wants us to dwell in that darkness. He wants to corral us and keep us in darkness. But Jesus Christ came to bring light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And so Jesus came as a light to this world, that the darkness of Satan would be dispelled, and that we might have his light abiding in us, and that we would come to know the truth, and that we would be followers of Jesus Christ, as he calls us to be. And so he's speaking here of this, that light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That image of God, of Jesus Christ, has shined. It shined where? Into our hearts, into our very hearts, that we would understand then with our minds of who Jesus Christ is and this ministration of life that he has come to bring. And these things we savor. These things we rejoice in. These things we come to relish and enjoy, because God, through Jesus Christ, brought us life. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Again, this is what the Apostle Paul was continually focused on, was that the preaching of Jesus. It wasn't his message that he was bringing, and the apostles, it wasn't their message that they were bringing, but they were preaching Jesus Christ. In the first epistle to this church in Corinth, he speaks in chapter number 2 and says, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. When the Apostle Paul came there, he wasn't going to talk to them philosophically. He wasn't going to talk to them about other experiences that he had. He wasn't going to talk to them about anything else. He said, I'm coming to preach Jesus Christ, and to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. And he says, in my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. This was the preaching, and this preaching brought forth life. And it continues to this day, the preaching of Jesus Christ. As was mentioned in the prayer, that this chapter is focusing and referencing back to Jesus often. It's about the gospel of Jesus Christ, about what Jesus Christ has done, how Jesus Christ is the image of God, the face of God. And his light shines to us. So as God said in the beginning that let there be light, and there was light, he is now saying let there be light in the hearts of men, of those that would believe in Jesus Christ, of those that would savor those things which be of God. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. This is what the excellency of the power should be. That the excellency of the power would always be of God. We of ourselves have so little to bring. It's so valueless. But the excellency of the power is, and when we align ourselves with that and preach Jesus Christ, there is great power in that. And so he says, we have this treasure of Jesus Christ, this treasure of him and his spirit abiding within us. We have it in our earthen vessels, in our mortal frame, that we are having this eternal experience even while we are here upon this earth. And so he's saying that this excellency of power, it's of God and not of us. This is of God and not of us. And in the previous chapter, he's saying also that that we are not sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. He's saying we don't have anything sufficient. We don't have anything good of ourselves to bring, but the good that we have to bring is of God. Our sufficiency is of God. The Apostle Peter also recognized this too, and when he healed that lame man that was there outside the gate at the temple, and he healed him, and the people were marveling and rejoicing and giving Peter praise. And Peter says, why are you marveling as though by our own power or by our own holiness we made this man to walk? And he gives the credit to Jesus. He's saying, Jesus, whom ye crucified, by him does this man stand before you whole. In all cases, it's always reflecting back to God, to Jesus, to whom give life, that they have the ministration of life has been given unto us. We give him the honor, give him the glory, as he is so worthy of. In every case, at all times, we have no sufficiency that of ourselves that we can boast of. We don't have it. But in the power of God, there is. Then he transitions and says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. These four things he's mentioning. He's saying, life can be difficult on the external portion, but inwardly, we're thriving. Inwardly, we are in the Spirit. Inwardly, we are experiencing the power of God. Inwardly, we are giving glory. We are part of the glory of God. And so, again, going back to verse number 6, he's saying it's of the glory of God. And then in verse number 7, he's saying that the excellency of the power might be of God. The excellency of the power and the glory of God, that's what carries us through when we have troubles on every side. We're not distressed in the broader sense. We're not, when there's perplexities, we're not in despair. We know who wins. We know that ultimately God's going to win. We all ultimately know that Jesus Christ is going to come back in power and great glory. And so that when there is some distress or some perplexities in life, that we're not in despair. We know who ultimately wins. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. And so this is simply just a beautiful verse, that knowing that we have to die to self that we might live, that Jesus might live within us. Our mortal frame, savoring the things that be of men, need to die. As Jesus died there on the cross, our sins, our savoring of the things that be of men, need to die there too. But then that as we would savor the things that would be of God, then Jesus Christ lives within us, as he's saying here, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Again, in our body, in our mortal frame, just as he was saying here earlier of this being in our mortal frame, in our mortal flesh, as it says in verse number 11. And so, as we consider this truth of always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. That we think of the truth that Jesus Christ brought, which is the way of the cross. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. If we lose our life, if we lose our desire to savor the things that be of men, and that we would in turn live for the Lord and savor those things which be of God, those things which would be eternal, then the life of Jesus will come and make itself manifest in our lives, in all things. Thank God for his gift of that Jesus Christ would be alive within us, in our bodies. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. In our mortal flesh, that the life of Jesus, the ways of Jesus, what he has done for us, and his magnificence, that when God created the world and all things, we glory in that power of God. And when we glory in everything that God has done, in not only in his creation, but in his salvation, in the resurrection of life, in his love, in his bountiful love, we rejoice in that and we savor in that. And so the life of Jesus then is made manifest in our mortal flesh. We glory in that. We give him the praise for that. We honor him for that. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. And so it is that the message of God needs to continually go forth, that as we believe in Jesus, that the message of Jesus would continually go forth. The message of truth, the message of Jesus, nothing less, nothing more, the message of Jesus. Him crucified, even as the Apostle Paul says, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. It always has to be about Jesus. That's our testimony and that's our witness. And these are the things that we speak, even as it was for the apostles, that as they were partakers of Jesus Christ and were present during the miracles which Jesus did and all that Jesus did, they were then, after Jesus ascended, they were then witnesses of all that Jesus said and all that Jesus did. And it needs to be so for us as well, that we would witness and testify to the truth of what the Bible says of Jesus. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. So here it is, that beautiful word of grace, the one and only time it's mentioned in this chapter. But it's bountiful. It's an abundant grace, as he explains here. It's an abundant grace. It's been given to us that as we are part of this ministration of life and we have Jesus Christ abounding in our bodies, And his life being manifest through us, that we are giving, that grace is given unto us, and then we return that grace with thanksgiving. And much thanksgiving from everyone, from all, that as we are recipients of his grace, that we would reciprocate that grace with thanksgiving. And that thanksgiving would go to God, and then that would give glory to God. In our receiving of grace and our reciprocating with that of thanksgiving, that gives glory to God. In our bodies, we are giving glory to God. We are lifting up his name. And when God sees that we are giving him glory, then he gives us grace again. And the cycle continues. Thanks be to God for these things which we savor and we enjoy so much, of all that God has given unto us. He is so worthy of our praise, so worthy of everything that he gives to us. So he continues on here in this chapter and says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day." Again, we kind of captured some of that in the beginning. He's saying we don't faint. We're not fainting. Why? Because of the ministration of life. Because of what God has done. Because of the excellency of his power. Because of the glory of God. We're not fainting. We're not giving up. We're continuing in his grace. So we're not fainting. And though it is that our outward man would perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. Renewed day by day. There's some verses in Lamentations that speak of, you know, the mercies and the compassions of the Lord. They don't fail. They're new every morning. Great is the faithfulness of the Lord. Great is the faithfulness of the Lord, because his compassions and his mercies are new every morning. So we don't perish, we don't faint, and though the outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. Because of the grace of God, I die daily. The newness of the Lord is there each and every day, and we can experience him, and we can have this knowledge of him, and know him more and more. Thanks God for his beautiful gift. And so he says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." He's saying our light affliction, it's just but for a moment. Here's the light affliction that had transpired in his life. He says, "In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure," light afflictions. "In prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A day and a night and a day, have I been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings oft, in cold and nakedness," and his list could go on and on and on. But he terminated it there. Light afflictions. His outward man was perishing. He experienced these things, but he counted it a light thing. It's just a light thing. The outward man is perishing, but that's just a light thing. Our inward man is renewed day by day. We're new in Jesus Christ. His faithfulness, his mercies, his compassions are new every morning. He is alive in us. And again, I'd like to go back to this verse in Luke where Jesus says, "Whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." Are we losing our life that we might save it? Or are we saving our life? Are we savoring the things that be of men? Do we want it good in this life, and do we want to focus on this life only? Or are we focusing on those things which are eternal? Are we savoring the things that be of God? Are we part of the ministration of life? What is our focus? What is our desire? What is our aspirations for this life? The Apostle Paul also in another place said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." He understood this truth, that if we're saving our life, we're going to lose it. But if we're losing our life, meaning it doesn't matter what happens in this life, it doesn't matter so much that the things that we might have to experience on the outward part of man, but it matters, and it matters significantly. Who lives within us? What drives us? And so he says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Again, we are eternal beings. Our souls have been with, are within us, that we are now eternal beings. And we are simply having this earthly experience before we go on into the eternity. What is it that we are savoring? What is it that we desire? Who abides in us? Who abides in us? Jesus Christ said, I am he that liveth and was dead, but I am alive forevermore. Is he alive? Is he alive within our hearts? Do we glory in him? Is the ministration of life being made manifest in our mortal bodies? Do we give him all the praise and all the honor? Do we relish in the power of the excellency of God? Do we rejoice in that? Or are there times when we think, well, I want to take matters into my own hands? When we do that, we will fail. May it always be that God would grant unto us that we would yield ourselves to him, that we would gladly, with a willing heart, give up this life that we might have life eternal.
In the writings of Apostle Paul, we see so many profound truths, and as we reflect on the things that he said, we can stand in awe and wonder at the hope and the strength and the help that he obviously was a partaker of as he shared his heart and confidence in the Lord and all that he had received. We see so many things that he had received, the mercy, the strength of God to help when he was rejected by men or persecuted and went through these trials. His help was coming from the Lord. And it seems as though he had an obvious and clear calling. And sometimes we can read and marvel and say, yeah, I wish that was for me, but maybe not. But Apostle Paul speaks and the Spirit speaks, yes, this is for you. He says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts. There's no one else that could do this. No one else could have created the light out of darkness. Only God. And so Apostle Paul saw that there was no need to preach about his experiences or his own self, but God himself, and that we need to know him. He shined in our hearts, and he can shine in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. There's a glorious God who is all-knowing, all-loving. He's eternal. And these things are amazing. But sometimes they're hard to grasp. But there is an awareness of that knowledge, of that glory. And that's that knowledge of the glory of God. There's a recognition and an understanding of that glory. And there's a light to that knowledge, that knowledge illuminates our path. It warms our hearts with the truth of who God is. And it's all found in the face of Jesus Christ. What does your heart need? John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God who takes the sins of the world. We find forgiveness in Jesus. The disciples looked at Jesus while he was on the Mount of Transfiguration, and his face shone like the sun, and we hope in the glory of God. And if we need hope, we look to Jesus. And Pilate said, behold the man who had been beaten, who had been mocked. When we are tempted and tried, when we are mocked, when we are facing the cruelty of this life, we look to the face of Jesus. We find everything we need in Him. And so there's nowhere else we can go, and to no one else that we can turn. But we can find all our needs met in Jesus Christ, our Savior. May His name be praised and glorified as we would allow that truth to speak to our hearts and change us. Amen.
Amen.